So we're starting. Last week we dealt with an introduction to the 39 melachos, the 39 forbidden activities on Shabbos, and now we're gonna go ahead and start with activity number one, which is forbidden. It's actually a dispute in the Gemara / Mishnah, different girsas, as to what is the first forbidden activity. But I'm just gonna go with what I chose to be the first one, which is planting. The first one on the list is Zoreya, which is planting. Planting is unique, and this is really going to, what we're going to discuss today is very interesting, and it's also going to impact how we're going to define other forbidden activities. Planting is very unique in that most activities that are forbidden, the moment that you do it as an action, the result happens at the very same time. For example, there's a prohibition to write. You're not allowed to write on Shabbos. So at the moment that I perform that action of writing, the letters appear on the page. There is no time delay between my writing and the letters appearing on the page. There's absolutely no time delay. Planting is unique.
It doesn't show.
Because you don't see the results. You put the seeds in the ground today, and it could take a few months for it to grow. It could take a long time for it to grow.
Well, cooking is the same thing.
Oh, that's a great point. So there are other melachos, like forbidden activities, which are like that. Another great example is cooking. When you cook something, so the action that you do that's forbidden, what's that action? Placing that tray of chicken into the oven, so it's not cooked. So it still takes, it could take an hour to cook it. It could take a while for it to get cooked. So there also, there's a time delay. Others also suggest that maybe trapping potentially has a time delay, because trapping, the prohibition might be about setting up the trap, and then having the animal trapped could take time. So there potentially is a time delay, but the two clearest ones are, as what Dez pointed out, the two clearest ones are planting and cooking. Those are the clearest. So now you have a time delay. So I'm going to throw out a few questions. And then through those questions, we'll see exactly what some of our commentators say about this. Just to point out, this whole discussion, I'm astonished that this whole discussion, where our starting point is not the Talmud, it's not the Gemara, it's not the earlier commentators, the Rishonim. This whole discussion starts with, I don't know, the 1800s, 1700s, 1800s is the beginning of this discussion, which I'm shocked by, because the issues that we're going to be discussing here are so fundamental, not just to this specific forbidden activity of planting, of Zoreya, but it's really, it impacts everything that we're going to be talking about for the next 3 years. I don't know, however long this takes us to go through Shabbos.
I'm not sure I understood what you said.
I'm surprised that only came as a discussion so late in historically. In the 1800s.
What, it wasn't a point of discussion in
1832? No, it wasn't.
So you could plant then? It was okay?
No, the following discussion that we're about to have. Everyone understood that you're not allowed to plant. The following discussion about that we're gonna see. What we're gonna be discussing right now we haven't started yet, but what we're gonna be discussing right now is only a really late discussion historically. Okay, so let me throw out a few questions. Let's say I am baking, but I put it in 5 minutes before Shabbos is over, so that the action that
over
I do
or started.
What?
Over or started?
Over. 5 minutes before it's over. It's at the very end of Shabbos.
Saturday late afternoon.
You're mixing.
During your Shal Shittas, you go ahead and you put into the oven some chicken. You put that into the oven. It's not going to cook until after Shabbos.
It's not going to be cooked.
Yeah, right. It won't become edible till after Shabbos. But the action that you did took place on Shabbos. That took place on Shabbos. The result of it being cooked is going to take place after Shabbos, not on Shabbos. So is that allowed biblically? You could always make the claim that it's rabbinically forbidden. And it is rabbinically forbidden, even if it's not biblically forbidden, because who knows that you're going to... For various reasons. But... Is that biblically prohibited? To put it in 5 minutes before Shabbos, and then it'll only have the result of being cooked after Shabbos. Any suggestions?
No.
No. It's not forbidden. Why?
Because you can't possibly benefit from it.
You can't benefit from it? You're telling me that an activity is forbidden only if I could benefit from it?
Well, on the other end, I know know that when you're coming into Shabbos, if you cook something that you can't, that like for instance, if you we're learning in Mishnah Berurah that if there's something that you're going to be cooking and it's going to get spoiled, if it gets spoiled and so you don't actually benefit from the extra cooking that took place,
yeah.
So you put something on and get spoiled and you don't benefit from it, then it's you can actually eat of it because you're not benefiting from the cooking.
No, that's a separate discussion. Not whether it's forbidden or not, but that's a question of whether you can benefit from something which is forbidden.
Okay. Well, that's also... That's you're not doing constructive act. It sounds like he's not doing constructive.
Yeah, there it's not constructive. There that happens to be, it's a separate issue about benefiting from it. But I think in action it's forbidden even if you can't benefit from it, or you don't benefit from it, it's still forbidden to do.
Cooking, for example. Yeah.
Well, whatever the case, usually when you perform an activity it's because you want to benefit from it, in the vast majority of cases. So would this be allowed or not allowed? 5 minutes before Shabbos, I put it into the oven. Any suggestions?
But cooking is a slow process, but I'd say that, you know, after the first or second minute, the food's starting to warm up already.
Okay, so I'll tell you something. So let me clarify in terms of cooking. Cooking is halakhically defined as cooked when it is either, it's a discussion, but either a third or a half cooked. Before it's a third or a half cooked, it's not halakhically defined as cooked.
So
that takes time. That's not just in the first couple of minutes, but that takes time.
But you wouldn't, because you haven't done a unit of malacha.
Why not? It cooked after Shabbos, but I did the action on Shabbos.
What happens after Shabbos? That part isn't tasser.
But maybe it's the action which is tasser. The action of placing it into the oven.
Well, so there's a thing of you could be chayav like carbon or skila, and then there's separate like, but you're also not to do any small amount. So it sounds to me like you would be chayav.
The intention was to cook food.
Yeah.
The intention was to cook, and therefore you think that it would be prohibited?
The intention was to cook after Shabbos.
But it was for, the intention was for it to cook after Shabbos.
You can't have an intention to cook on Shabbos if you're putting it in with just 5 minutes to go.
Why? My intention is to cook. My intention may not be to cook on Shabbos.
Who said that
it's forbidden to have intentions to cook on Shabbos? Maybe it's forbidden to, on Shabbos, have intentions to cook for whenever it's going to occur. For example, let's discuss plant. Forget about cooking. Okay. Let's discuss planting right now. Okay. I'm going to put something in the ground. When is it going to grow?
Year.
Chances are not that day, right? Highly doubt that.
3 days.
What did you say? 3 days?
So I'm just making.
Yeah, whatever. It's the Gemara actually discusses when things naturally take root, either 15 days or 30 days later. It's not taking place that day. So why is it forbidden? We know that it's forbidden to plant, but why should it be forbidden to plant?
Well, unless the prohibition against planting and cooking include initiating the planting or the cooking.
That's great. So maybe when it comes to these forbidden activities, where there's a time gap, we have to define what is the prohibition. Is the prohibition the end result of planting / having food which is cooked? The end result of it being cooked? Or is the prohibition nothing to do with the end result, but about initiating the process? Is the prohibition the initiation of that process? Because when it comes to planting, it's not going to happen. It won't take place on Shabbos. So maybe the whole prohibition is just starting the process. That might not be the case for other prohibitions, even though it happens at the exact same time. But for these, you have these two activities which are very unique because there's a time gap. So maybe the prohibition is not the end result, but it's just starting the process. Starting the process of cooking. Starting the process of planting. So maybe that's what is prohibited, and then it should be forbidden. Or I could tell you otherwise, or I could tell you that no, it's really about the end result. And then it wouldn't be prohibited if you do it 5 minutes before Shabbos.
If you tell me it's the end result, then planting is never forbidden.
Oh, so we'll get to that. So that's a great question.
That's a proof that it must be the initialization of the process, at least for planting.
It's not so simple, but yeah.
The point is
planting is always going to take place. The end result is always going to happen after Shabbos.
Yeah.
If you plant the second Shabbos starts, it's never going to take root over Shabbos. So it must be that it's about the initiation. Okay. So now I have another question for you. So let's say it's not about 5 minutes before Shabbos, but I put food into the oven, and then 5 minutes later, I realize, you know what, this is not a good idea. I shouldn't be cooking on Shabbos. I take it out of the oven. Is there any point in taking it out by now? 5 minutes later, is there a point in taking it out? Have I already violated the prohibition?
No, 1/3 of the way through, so it's not cooked.
So you're saying it's not cooked, so it's better to take it out.
So you haven't violated it because you haven't cooked it.
So you should take it out to prevent any violation.
Right.
But what if you say that the prohibition is just about initiating the process? It's not about the end result, but it's about initiating the process. So if it's about initiating the process, did I initiate the process?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So.
But you didn't.
So leave it in there.
We can make it not be a whole process.
What do you mean by that?
Even if the prohibition is initiating the process, it's like we're not sure if you initiated the process until it's done, or until it's like reached a level of view.
If you've made a mistake and you're trying to mitigate.
Yeah, but
you already made the mistake. You violated the prohibition is to initiate a process. You taking it out does not.
Maybe a second violation.
It doesn't. That's an interesting idea.
So
which
it doesn't
change your initial action. You can't say your initial action wasn't to initiate a process. Your initial action was to initiate a process of cooking or of planting, whatever the case is, like in planting to take out the seeds from the ground afterwards. So you already started the process. Even if you take out the seeds, or even if you take out the food from the oven, that doesn't redefine my initial action. You can't say that redefines my initial action.
Well, we said that the cooking for Shabbos is 1/3 or a half. And what does that mean?
So what's the prohibition?
Oh, so what's the prohibition? That's a great question. We'll get into that. You could just say it's putting something into the oven whereby it will get cooked. A third cooked or half cooked. I have to start a process where it will become a third or a half cooked. If I put it on a fire, it will never get to a third or a half cook. So then there wouldn't be a prohibition. I could suggest that, but it's a good question. Okay, so this is just to throw some ideas out, and now let's see how to deal with this whole issue. So the first source here is a Gemara in Shabbos, which does not deal with planting. Our main focus here is planting, but we're also going to have to compare planting with baking and with cooking, because these are two forbidden activities which have that time gap. So let's look here at the first source, the Gemara in Shabbos. It says, Gufa, Boi Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, Hidbik Pas Betanur, Hitiru Lo Lirdosa Kodem Shiova Lidich Yivchatas, O Lo Hitiru. The case is where you've placed bread in the oven. And so placing bread in the oven, and it's not cooked, it's not baked yet, it's not fully baked yet, or halachically baked yet. And the question is, one person put it in, and I'm now standing by the oven. And I could prevent my friend who put it in from a violation by removing it from the oven. But there's a rabbinic prohibition, which I don't want to get into. There's a rabbinic prohibition for taking bread out of the oven. There is a rabbinic prohibition to take bread out of the oven.
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos, yeah, to take bread out of the oven on Shabbos. So the Gemara has the following question.
This is partially baked bread. People take bread out of the oven on Shabbos all the time.
What do you mean?
Like, people leave challah in the oven Friday night.
No, not when the fire is on.
Right.
This is, first of all, this is not even this is not even baked yet. This is not even halakhically baked yet. So my friend put it in. I want to save him from a biblical prohibition, says the Gemara, so I'm going to take it out. But the problem is that if I take it out, I will violate a rabbinic prohibition. So what's better? Should I violate a rabbinic prohibition to save my friend from a biblical prohibition?
Seems logical, yes.
That's the question of the Gemara. I don't want to get into that whole discussion. This happens to be a fascinating discussion about whether I'm allowed to violate a prohibition to save somebody else from violating something which is a lot stricter, which is a lot...
Well, that very question presumes... Yeah.
Yes, this is what I want to get at.
It presumes that it wasn't just the process of initiating the cooking that is avera, but that's an ongoing avera. Otherwise... Yeah.
Why would you take it out? Why would you take it out? Dez is right, hitting it right on the nail. So, What is this Gemara assuming? If I could take it out and prevent my friend from violating a biblical prohibition, what is this Gemara assuming?
That the prohibition is not when you initiate.
The prohibition is not when you initiate. It's when you actually bake. When it reaches the status of being baked. Uh-huh. Otherwise, there would be no reason for me to take it out. He already violated the prohibition. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara assumes. So we have a Gemara, a clear-cut Gemara, which tells us that it's about the end. It's about, I don't know, about only about the end result, but at least it's at least about also baking. It also has to reach that state of being baked. Fine. That's clear from the Gemara. That's with regards to cooking. So now come the discussion from the 18th and 19th century to say, what about planting? It's clear from the Gemara for cooking that when it comes to cooking, we care about the end result. You have to have that end result where it's cooked.
On a Torah level,
where it's cooked.
Is your question, though, your friend has put this stuff in the oven 5 minutes before Shabbos ends?
On Shabbos. No, not 5 minutes. You have a sub question.
Because if it's not 5 minutes before Shabbos, then it's a different question.
The case of the Gemara? You're talking about my question or the Gemara's question?
Your question.
My question is about me. Let's say forget about the friend case. You're also asking a good point here. So it's about the end result. So now I have a separate question. We see from the Gemara that it's about the end result. You have to cook it. But what about, let's return to our question of putting it in the oven 5 minutes before Shabbos. It's only going to reach the state of being cooked after Shabbos. What?
Shabbos is over.
5 minutes before Shabbos is over. Thank you, sir. You put it in the oven 5 minutes before Shabbos is over. At the very end of Shabbos. And it's only going to bake or cook after Shabbos. Right. So this Gemara doesn't really tell me anything about that case. I wouldn't think it tells me anything about that case. Wants to argue otherwise, you could tell me. Because even if you want to say that it's about the end result, well, I could make the following claim. Maybe having the end result is not definitional to what's prohibited. Maybe the prohibition is about starting the process, but it's on condition that it actually becomes baked. Let's say really the prohibition is about initiating. Because that's what my action is. My action has nothing to do with the end result. The end result happens on its own with the fire. The fire cooks the food. So maybe I can make the following claim that the prohibition is my placing it on the fire, my placing the food on the fire. That initiation, that initial step. But I'm only going to violate it if in the end of the day, this is what we call a t'nai, a condition, there's a condition here that it has to cook. And so therefore, in this Gemara, the reason why there's an advantage for me removing the bread from the oven is because then the t'nai, that condition, is not fulfilled. And so then I have not, then my friend would not have violated his prohibition. Now, in the case of where I put the food on the fire 5 minutes before the end of Shabbos, so the initiation could have been the prohibition. But you need it. There's a certain condition that has to take place. And that is that it has to cook. But when does that condition have to take place?
On Shabbos.
I don't know. Why does it have to take place on Shabbos? Let it take place after Shabbos. The prohibition is just to start that process. That's the prohibition.
Is there really the oven that's on a timer on Shabbos that'll go on Wednesday? Similar. It sounds like a similar question.
Yes, I would be fine with that. I would think it's the same question.
Yeah.
I would think it's the same exact question. Not that I would be fine with that it's mutter.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that you could equate the two cases. So you have the case here where you put the food in the oven 5 minutes before Shabbos ends. So it cooks. At the end of the day, it cooks. So if the prohibition is just purely the starting of the process, it's just the starting of the process, but there's a condition that has to take place, that it has to end up, you have to have a result here of where it's cooked or where it's baked, so then that condition might not have to take place on Shabbos. The prohibition is really about just starting the process. There's a condition. That condition could take place on Shabbos. It could take place after Shabbos. So perhaps I could violate the prohibition of cooking if I just place it 5 minutes before the end of Shabbos, and it cooks after Shabbos. Because all we see from the Gemara is that it has to, in the end of the day, be cooked. It has to have that state of being cooked. The question now is, well, is that part and parcel of the prohibition? Is that defining the prohibition? I mean, the prohibition is about completing the process? Or is the prohibition about initiating the process, but there's a condition involved? And that condition is that in the end of the day, it has to be baked. It has to be cooked. Right? So do we hear those two different ways of understanding it? Either we see from the Gemara that it's clear that it has to be cooked in the end. But is that defining the prohibition of cooking? That definitional to cooking is that it becomes cooked? Or is no, the definition of cooking that I'm initiating the process. But there's a condition here. And if there's a condition here, so then that condition doesn't necessarily have to take place on Shabbos. That condition can take place after Shabbos. Okay? Fine. So this Gemara does not tell us about that question of putting it in 5 minutes before the end of Shabbos. It does tell us that in the end of the day, it has to be cooked. That's what it tells us. It has to be cooked in the end of the day. So now let's get to our discussion of planting, because I didn't want to start with cooking. Cooking is very complicated. Not that this is not complicated, but planting. Let's get to planting. So now there's a Rashash. The Rashash is a commentator on the Gemara. If anybody wanted to know, just historically, the Rashash now, of all the Mefarshim, all the commentators, he's in the back of the Gemara. You can find him in the back of a Gemara. And if you want to know why, it's because the Rashash was not only a rabbi, he was a very big businessman. And he could afford it. So he paid the Gemaras to have his, all the printed Gemaras, to have his explanation in the back. Other rabbis are not as fortunate to have that kind of money to just put their explanation on the back. Okay.
Doesn't that cheapen his writing?
No, he wasn't doing it because, like, out of himself, like, I want to show off and everyone should read my stuff. It was because he understood his role and that he had a lot. No, he understood that he has a lot to offer to the Jewish people. It wasn't out of, like, gaiva and haughtiness that he was doing this. He thought that he would help out. And he does. He's going to help us out right here. And the Rashash says as follows. Let's read this and then we'll try to analyze it. Mikol makom. Kevin da alidei zri aso ata. You plant right now. You put the seeds in right now. Yishrush acher kach. But it will take root later on. Right? There's a time gap. I plant right now. It'll take root in a few months. Chayev. Kemo ofe v'tzola d'chayev. Afa pishin nefa v'nitzla acher kach me'elav. It's comparable to the case of cooking baking where I start the process now, but the end result won't happen for another 45 minutes or longer. V'hine, im lokar hazera kodem shenishrosh, nira depater lemafreya almash hazera, kevan deloniskaima machshavasa. V'davarza yishlomo mibaya deraba bar acha b'resh mechotin, dimrodeo kodem shenefa pater. He says as follows. Just like the Gemara told us, the Gemara that we just read, told us that by cooking, I need to have the end result. You need to have that end result of being cooked. So too, when it comes to planting, I need to have that end result. There's no difference between cooking and planting. They're both the same thing. They both have a time delay. And whatever applies to one applies to the other. So just like by cooking, the whole prohibition is just initiating the process. But I also need to have that end result of cooking, of it being cooked. So too with regards to planting. When I plant, it has to have that end result of planting. And therefore, if I were to remove the seeds before it takes root, so then I have not violated a biblical prohibition. Right? Because it didn't take place. The end result did not take place. Then he says the next two lines are very important. And he says, "Umizeh nirali." Dekein ha'ofe b'shabes im chashecha chayev. After ein shahos, sorry, v'hinei b'zorem mashmet d'chayev after ha'shrasha lo tiyah el b'chol. U'mizeh nirli, dekein ha'ofe b'shabes im chashecha chayev after ein shahos shetigmar afyaso b'od yom. He says, once we're comparing cooking and planting, So when I plant, I just start the process on Shabbos. The end result doesn't happen till after Shabbos. So he says, just like I'm comparing cooking to planting, I can compare planting to cooking. And by planting, the prohibition is just to initiate. It has to be just to initiate. Mm-hmm. Because the end result doesn't happen until after Shabbos. It can take place months later. Mm-hmm. So too, he says, when it comes to cooking. In our question of, let's say I were to cook something 5 minutes before Shabbos ends, and the end result won't take place till after Shabbos, he says it'll still be prohibited. Because just like by planting, it must be prohibited in such a case. Because the end result has to take place. And that takes place after Shabbos. So then we see from here, by planting, that what's the prohibition? The prohibition is about initiating the process. Because by planting, the only way to define the prohibition is by initiating the process. Because the end result happens way after Shabbos. Oh, but you need the end result. We know that you need the end result. That's because the end result is not defining the prohibition. It's just a condition. It's an outside condition. Right? We said that there are two ways of understanding the end result. Either the end result is really what's defining the prohibition, and if it's defining the prohibition, that has to take place on Shabbos, meaning the prohibition, we're talking about what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Or you could say that no, the end result is not defining the prohibition, it's just a condition. The prohibition is really about starting the process. You could start the process, but then it's on condition that it actually takes place, like by planting. Starting the process is what's prohibited, says the Rishash. That takes place on Shabbos. But I need a certain condition to take place. It has to take root. But that condition can happen after Shabbos. That condition is not fundamentally what is prohibited. Fundamentally what's prohibited is just that initiation, that starting the process. The condition has to take place. That condition can take place after Shabbos. The fact that it could take root months later. And that can happen after Shabbos. The same is true for cooking, says the Rishash. One second. The same is true for cooking. By cooking, says the Rishash, what's the prohibition? The prohibition is just starting the process. Putting the food on the fire. That's the prohibition. But we know that there's a condition. The Gemara tells us that it's a condition that's necessary. It has to cook. But that's just a condition, says the Rishash. That's not fundamentally what's prohibited. That's just a condition. And says the Rishash, that can also take place after Shabbos. If I were to put something, food, in the oven 5 minutes before the end of Shabbos, and then it cooks or bakes after Shabbos, it's still biblically prohibited. Because fundamentally what's prohibited is just starting the process. That's what's fundamentally what's prohibited. The need for the end result, that's just a condition. That's not fundamentally what's prohibited, that's just a condition. And that's what the Rishash says, yeah.
When you say the need for the end result is a condition for what?
For you to violate your prohibition of starting the process.
So if you plant in Shabbos,
yeah.
Are you saying you haven't really violated Shabbos until the things start growing?
Exactly. And therefore, if I were to take the seeds out, that's exactly what he says. If I were to take the seeds out, I would not violated the biblical prohibition.
So if you planted faulty seeds that don't grow, right? Are you saying that's not...
I think everyone agrees to that. We'll see. Everyone's going to agree to that.
We'll agree that that's not a violation.
In our either Monday or Thursday class, I'm not sure yet, we're going to define what exactly... How do you define planting? Which is a separate question. Planting is about allowing... The basic definition for planting is about allowing something to grow. Mm-hmm. And if you have seeds which can't grow, so then you have not... That might even be rabbinically allowed also.
It sounds like you would also be exempt, though, with planting, given the timeline. Even if you planted on Shabbos and remove the seeds the next day.
Yeah, even if you remove the seeds the next day. As long as you remove the seeds before it takes root. Yeah, so then that would also be fine.
Yeah, you've got to be careful because something like lentils grow roots within a few hours.
Again, we're talking about on a biblical level. It's important to keep in mind we're talking on a biblical level. Rabbinically, this would be forbidden because just who says you're going to take out the seeds? Rabbinically, this would for sure be forbidden to do, to play around and, oh, look what I can do on Shabbos. I'll put the seeds in the ground, take it out on Sunday, and I got you, Torah.
And it's a retroactive exemption from the biblical prohibition.
Exactly. It's a retroactive exemption. By taking out the seeds, it's a retroactive exemption from the biblical prohibition of starting the process.
Of starting the process.
Correct.
The prohibition should really be called growing, not planting.
That's a discussion that we'll have.
Because that would be more akin to cooking.
Okay. I mean, it depends on how you define planting.
Well, I would define planting as putting the seed in the ground.
For the purpose of growing.
Yeah.
For the purpose of growing, like, right. But it's for the purpose of growing.
Yeah.
Which would be the same thing as the term growing.
Well, growing has a lot of stuff.
Growing, well, we'll get to it. Growing might be, I mean,
just
no, because I'll tell you, pouring water on grass is growing.
Yeah.
So that's, is that, we'll get to all these things, but we'll get to all this. Anyway, let's not jump the gun. Okay. So that's all the Rishash. Now let's discuss the opposing view, the Minchas Chinuch. If we don't cover all of this, I hope to cover the basics. If we don't cover all of this, we always have Thursday. He says it as follows. This is in the second page, the two sources, the first two sources on the second page. He says, "V'hinei melachas hazria im zareya b'makom shiroi litzmach v'zeh pasha." He says, the way we define planting is having to plant in a place where it's fit to grow. If you plant in a place which is not fit to grow, so then there wouldn't be such a there wouldn't be a prohibition. He says, "Ikvar biranu lekaman and hilchos jantav da al hazria shezara chayev af below hishrish v'niklat klal kagon cheniskalkel tikef al yidei izasiba o shetikef higbiya min akarka chayev al hamaisa hazria." He says that if it does not take root, one has still violated the prohibition of zorea, of planting. Whether it became destroyed or I removed it from the ground, you have still violated that biblical prohibition. Is that like the Rishash, the previous opinion, or is that not like the Rishash? It's not like, not at all like the Rishash. That's exactly arguing the Rishash. The Rishash held that in order to violate the prohibition, it's just like by cooking. By cooking, I'm only violated if I have the end result. Mm-hmm. But he says, who said that that's true? That's what the Gemara said by cooking. But who said that that's true by planting? Who said that just like that's true by cooking, that we could apply the same thing by planting? Well, let's just continue reading, then we'll analyze it. And he says, "V'lo dami la'afil." It's, you cannot compare it. He knows about the Gemara by cooking. He says you cannot compare this to cooking. Dekodem shenafa inu chayev kemavur b'shas hitir lodosa kodem shetafa kedei shelo yava v'chule. He quotes the Gemara there, which says that you have to have that end result of it being in the state of cooked or baked. Why? Dehasam ha'afilu hu ha'malacha v'chayev b'shas afilu aval hacha ha'malacha hi hazria v'chayev tekef al hazria. He says you cannot compare cooking slash baking to planting. Why? He says, what's the prohibition by planting? He says the prohibition by planting, sorry, by cooking. He says, what's the prohibition by cooking? It's not starting the process. It's the end result of it being baked. If I have to start a process where part of it, fundamentally, it will cook. Fundamentally, the prohibition is that it should be cooked. You should have that end result of it being cooked. That's true when it comes to baking. He doesn't say that it's a condition. He says that is the prohibition by cooking slash baking. But when it comes to planting, the prohibition, the only thing that we care about is just starting the process. That's it. You do not need that end result. And so therefore, to remove the seeds later, you plant the seeds and then remove them 5 minutes later, it doesn't make a difference. You will still violate that biblical prohibition because the whole issue is just starting the process. We don't care about whether it takes root or not. You have violated the biblical prohibition just by starting the process. That's what he says in the first paragraph of the recording here. Let's go to the second paragraph. And this is a different Minchas Chinuch, but it's the same author, and he discusses this a little bit later. He says, "Dihine yadua dekol malacha Shabbos eno chayv al malacha rak benigmar hamalacha kegon oved duhu chay mishem mevasha." He says, when it comes to all of the malachos, all the forbidden activities, you only violate it when you finish the action. When you finish that action of what's prohibited. You have to finish that on, you think he's saying that you have to finish it on Shabbos also. You would have to finish it on Shabbos.
Finish the initiation or have the result?
You have to finish whatever is prohibited. So you then have to define. Well, what? You have to define. You have to finish whatever is prohibited. So the question is, well, what is prohibited? So when it comes to cooking and baking, he thinks that what's prohibited is the end result. So that end result would have to take place on Shabbos. You have to finish that on Shabbos. You can't have it. So therefore, let's go back to the other case that the Rishash deals with. Case. 5 minutes before Shabbos ends.
He's got no problem with it.
He has no problem with it.
From a
biblical perspective. Yeah. He has no problem with it. Why? Because what's the prohibition of baking and cooking? What's that prohibition?
The end result.
The end result. When does that end result take place?
After Shabbos.
The Rishash held that it is biblically prohibited. Why? Because the prohibition is not the end result. The prohibition is initiating the process with a condition. You need to have that condition. And that condition can take place after Shabbos. But the prohibition, the way we define that prohibition, is just starting it with a condition. The Minchas Chinuch says that the prohibition for cooking is the end result, and that has to take place on Shabbos. If you put it in the oven 5 minutes before the end of Shabbos, it didn't cook on Shabbos. So therefore, it wouldn't be biblically prohibited. Yeah, that is what he's discussing. There's a dot going on here, so I can't quote everything here, but you can look it up. You can look it up on your own.
The dot.
It's written down.
Yeah, the English.
I have it.
It's consistent.
The English translation is consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. The English translation for this comes from me, so it's good to know that I'm consistent. No, it's good that I'm consistent. Sometimes I'm not. Achzeino. And then he goes on, and now he discusses planting. He says, but planting, he says, requires rooting. I skipped part of what he's saying, but he's saying that when it comes to planting, the definition for planting is the end result, as opposed to by baking. Is the initiation. It's the initial step. Arze'ino, he says, don't tell me that planting is about the end result. Because if you want to tell me that planting is about the result of it taking root, he says, we know that one of the 39 forbidden activities is planting. If the definition for planting would be that it takes root, that would be the definition. That would always take place after Shabbos. So it must be, he says, from logic, he says, it must be that it's not the definition. The definition is not about it taking root. The definition is about starting the process. Well, how would the Rishash respond?
You're ignoring me.
What would he say? Well, why?
He would say, you're ignoring me because I'm not saying that it's the initiation. I'm not saying it's the end process. I'm saying it's initiating a process with a condition that it take root.
With a condition that it takes root. So now we have the Minchas Chinuch is of the opinion that I think that there's no such concept. There's no such concept of having an activity which is forbidden on a condition. On a condition. He just there's no such idea.
Yeah,
the Rishash came up with such an idea.
I was thinking about the whole time. There's no other examples of things like that.
For on a condition?
Yeah.
Well, the Rishash would say that the example is cooking.
Right.
That's what he would say.
But
he would say the prime example is cooking. Not with regards to this. There are various conditions which apply for Shabbos, but that's not something I want to get into.
Okay.
Like based on if it's destructive, it's not biblically prohibited. But it's based on a separate concept.
Sure.
Of what we discussed last time, Lechaz Malshevis, that has to be constructive or thoughtful. Or anyways, you had a.
Just a comment that some tree seeds might take years to germinate. You plant it and they can literally take a few seasons.
So the Rishash, you've only have violated it once it takes, once it germinates.
So there's a guy sitting in Spielkes maybe for a year wanting to know what his punishment is going to be, if he's going
to
be punished.
I understand. According to the Rishash, if you hold that you have to wait.
You can take the seeds out.
Take the seeds out. According to Minchas Chinuch, you violated it already. There's no point. There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
If the guy is really concerned that it's going to take root, so just take the seeds out. You know what? Just to show the Rishash what a condition means to its extreme, I would tell you as follows. Let's say, Rachman al-Atslan, God forbid, the guy dies between it, you planting it and
germinating.
And germinating. Has he violated the prohibition?
Not yet.
No, it takes root. Let's say it takes root.
Oh, no.
As he's this is a plug for Wednesday night's class.
Does it carry over? Does it carry over to your? But he dies, right?
He dies. So has he violated the prohibition?
But he died before. It's a
He planted it on Shabbos. He dies. 3 years later, it takes root. I'm asking you. Has he in his grave violated a biblical prohibition?
No, he violated it when he was still alive.
Well, yeah, he violated it when he was alive. Exactly. That's what a condition means. A condition means that this is not fundamental. He's dead. He's not doing anything right now. But a condition is just fundamentally the prohibition of Quinza Rishash is starting the process. But something has to occur. That could occur Shabbos, not Shabbos, whether he's alive, whether he's not alive. That just has to take place. According to Minchas Chinuch, who said that there's such a concept? He said there's no concept of something taking place on condition. It has to be that there's a certain definition for the melacha, for that forbidden activity. The definition has to be for planting. It just has to be that it's about initiating the process. Because if the prohibition were to be about the end result, that would never take place on Shabbos. So it has to be about initiating. So what we now have, according to the Minchas Chinuch, is a very interesting thing. We have cooking and we have planting. These are two forbidden activities which have a time delay. But these are two very different prohibitions. Because when it comes to cooking, what's the prohibition?
According to
Minchas Chinuch, according to the second opinion.
To be cooked.
To be cooked, the end result. The end result.
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos. That end result has to take place on Shabbos. According to the Minchas Chinuch, what's the prohibition for this time delay? What's the prohibition? The starting of the process. When it comes to planting. When it comes to planting, it's the starting of the process.
Right.
When it comes to cooking, it's the end result. That's what comes out of the Minchas Chinuch. Why would there be such a difference between cooking and planting?
Well, there's already a difference between cooking and other malacha anyway. So.
What do you mean by that? I don't know what you mean by that.
All the other malacha are instantaneous anyways.
But not planting.
Right.
Okay. So why would you differentiate between planting and cooking?
Well, he seems to be trying to fit cooking into the rest of the malacha, where there's no time delay, right?
No.
Like he's saying the prohibition of cooking happens at the moment of when.
No, cooking takes place after. According to him,
right.
Cooking the prohibition for cooking takes place an hour after I place it on the fire.
Right. So he's trying to make the prohibition happen like unconditionally.
That's true.
Similar to the other malacha.
Well, that's also similar to planting. My question is, why is it that, fundamentally, what is prohibited? When you have a time delayed forbidden activity, is the prohibition initiating, or is the prohibition the end result? So, the Minchas Chinuch, for the Rishash, everything's very simple. For the Rishash, it's about initiating on condition. For the Minchas Chinuch, depends on the malacha, depends on the forbidden activity. For baking, it's the end result. For baking, it's the end result. For planting, it's the initiation. Why would he distinguish between the two?
Yeah.
So he himself addresses that question. So I only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to say it outside, but I mention it in here. I quote it in here. So he says, I want to give two different answers. He says, because the language of cooking, when you hear the word cooking, what do you think? I think a cooked product. That's what I think. And so therefore, what's prohibited is that end result of a cooked product. When I hear the word planting, what do I think? I think putting seeds into the ground. And so therefore, what's prohibited is that initiation, that initial step.
The action.
Mm-hmm. That initial action. Okay? So he says that the difference between the two is about what I would think, what people would generally think when they hear such language. Baking means the end result, when I have something which is baked. Planting is, when I hear the word planting, I think putting seeds into the ground. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who is the...
Can I ask a basic question on that? I know we've discussed it before. But the question is not, why do we differentiate? And, oh, we differentiate based on the language. It's Hashem is the one that made up the rules. These are biblical rules here.
Okay.
So why did Hashem differentiate and say, if Hashem was okay to say that, you know what a malacha is? A malacha is starting the process by planting. So then Hashem should have said that the malacha is starting the process by cooking also.
No, I don't.
The malacha
shouldn't
be cooking. The malacha should be.
I don't have a problem with that. Every malacha, we'll see this as we go on. Every malacha has its own definition.
But
the
question is not why are we defining it that way. The question is why did Hashem define it that
way? Okay, I hear that question. Well, why did Hashem define?
What is Hashem's definition of an act of work of activity? Is that starting an activity?
Well, to answer that, I wouldn't have a problem saying that within the Menachos Chinuch answer, we're going to get to a second answer in a second, but within the Menachos Chinuch answer, it's based on how we understand baking and cooking.
And
planting.
Baking and cooking, those words are not in the Torah.
No, it's the act. The act of... it's what happened in the Mishkan.
You could either say what happened in the Mishkan is they cooked.
Well, they did both. They did both. The initiation and the end result took place in the Mishkan.
Right.
So the question is, well, what's prohibited? Is it the initiation or is it the end result? So that took place in the Mishkan. So I could say, well, the way we're going to define what a forbidden activity is based on, because people relate to it as such, as either the initiation or the end result, so then the way people relate to it is the way people are going to view it as what's important. Like what the Gemara and Baba Kama says, this is what we dealt with last week. Part of what the definition of a forbidden activity is it being important, potentially. That has to be important. So the way people look at that activity will define what is important within that activity. So if I look at the activity of baking as focusing on the end result, so then that's what's important about that activity. So therefore, the Torah would tell us that since you view that as the definition of baking as the end of the process, so that's what's important, so therefore that's what's going to be prohibited. As opposed to by planting, where since I view that activity as putting in the seeds, so then that's how we define what is important, and so therefore that's what's prohibited. I could say such a thing. I have 1 minute, so I don't mind discussing it afterwards, but I want to try to end on time. I'm not going to end on time, but I'll try. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who is the grandfather of somebody here whose last name is Sachs.
Abe
Sachs. So everyone should tell him that we quoted his grandfather here. So he was a big Talmud Chacham. So he asks, not exactly the same question as Rabbi Lichtman, but a similar question. He says that who cares about the language of baking and cooking on the one hand and planting? Where did the language come from? The only thing that it says in the Torah is malacha, work. That's the only thing that it says in the Torah. It says you can't do work. It never uses the language of baking, cooking, or planting. So he gives a different explanation. He says that it goes based on what happened in the Mishkan. The forbidden activities are based on what happens in the Mishkan. So he says, what happened in the Mishkan? So he says, when it comes to baking, baking is somewhat different than planting. Because when it comes to baking and cooking, when you cook something, do you leave it there for an hour and just walk away and go run errands and go out of the house? Usually not. Sometimes maybe, but usually not. Usually, you are continuously involved in the cooking/baking process. You make sure that everything's okay. You stir the pot a little bit. You're continuously involved. And so therefore, he wants to say that in the Mishkan, we would assume that since that's what happens in the majority of the times, that's also what took place in the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, when they would bake, so they would also continuously be involved. And the way we define forbidden activities is based on what happened in the Mishkan. And so in the Mishkan, they were continuously involved until the end result. So they were continuously involved. There is a less of a time gap, and what we care about is that end result. As opposed to by planting, what took place in the Mishkan when they would plant is when a person plants, they put the seeds in, and then they daven that it should grow. But they don't continuously watch what's going to happen, or they watch to make sure that it grows, but they're not directly involved in the process. And so since they're not all the time directly involved, so then in the Mishkan too, they weren't directly involved. They just put in the seeds as the initial step, and so therefore what's forbidden with regards to the seeds is just that initial step. But by baking in the Mishkan, they were continuously involved until they had the end result. And that's how the Menachos Chinuch explains the distinction. On Thursday, we're going to stop here. On Thursday, I want to discuss who we pasken like and ramifications. Mm-hmm.